And thank you very much for inviting me. The debate on how to measure economic growth is not new, and inevitably that immediately turns to a question about GDP, you know, the broadest measure of our economic health. Usually it's used at a national level and by virtually all countries, although not entirely all. We all know about Bhutan. I mean, since the start, GDP has faced two broad criticisms, which we've heard about from all three panelists. Firstly, you know, are we measuring the right or wrong thing? So that picks up this question about, is economic growth what we should care about versus productivity, prosperity, well-being? And then the second is, you know, are we measuring that thing rightly or wrongly? So we've heard about consumer surplus, about prices tonight. You know, all three presentations have picked those up. I'm going to talk a bit about the policy perspective and what do we want our measures of economic growth to do for us and what is useful for, you know, whether it's ministers or other policy decision makers. I was going to make three points. First, you know, what do we want? We want a reliable measure of the economy. No single statistic can do that, and I think we've heard very powerfully why you need to put it in perspective. But if you think of the scale of the challenge, GDP does a pretty impressive job, actually, in bringing it all together. The sort of cross-referencing that is done of output, of expenditure, and of income, you know, does bring quite a lot of robustness to what's going on here. But of course, it's not perfect. I recall very well the period at the end of 2011 and the beginning of 2012, when the early estimates of GDP at the time were basically showing the UK to be in recession. For the ministers and the people making those decisions around what to do, you know, that raised some challenges at that point. They were facing lots of calls around their entire economic strategy, and that those data points were very kind of topical at the time. The revised data 3 years later tells us actually the UK was not in recession at that time, and ultimately we won't know for a long time what was really going on. So, you know, time gives us a slightly more accurate guide, but I suspect it's probably little consolation to Norman Lamont that eventually he was right when he talked about green shoots. You know, at the time, it looked and felt quite different to a lot of people. So that leads me on to the point that it is pretty crucial to take the long view. You know, we're all busy focusing on the ONS's Q1 GDP estimate for 2018 that came out at the end of April. It was, you know, a surprise to a lot of people, and we're all looking forward to the Friday estimate. For further information, but you know, the only conclusion you can really draw, I think, is that ultimately it is too soon to be able to draw conclusions on what that data means for the economy at the current state of the economy. And you know, we all know that one-off events can have quite a big impact. You know, if you do care about economic growth more than anything else, you'll be glad that there was no bank holiday to go with the royal wedding last weekend, because we all know what that can do in the data. But look, ultimately, a lot of people picked up this point about perspective. And so in using GDP, it is really crucial to understand what it tells you and what it doesn't. You know, those that argue that we should include wider considerations are right, that we should, if you like, understand and think them through. In trying to understand the economy, GDP is one useful bit of data, but we also have to think about a whole range of other things, labour markets, tax receipts, production, manufacturing, consumption, all of that. And also, you know, to understand some of the other things we've picked up, but people have talked about, are rightly concerned. You know, we are right to be concerned about inequality, about social impact, about environmental impacts. And you know, we need to think about that data as well in taking a full view. So, you know, the question: should we change it? I mean, in terms of how we measure it, yes, to capture the changing, to capture the changes that we see in the economy. And John's talked about the work the ONS is doing on the back of the Charlie Bean Review and other things to try and keep the measures up to date. And no doubt that is a sort of continual process. But in terms of whether or not we should change what it measures, I would say we need to tread pretty carefully in that space. You know, people argue to put in a lot of, you know, that there's a case for things like distributional inputs. The issue there, I think, is incorporating anything like that. How can you do that in a way that doesn't bring in value judgments? And so Jonathan pointed out that maybe you should publish the data and sort of privatise people putting weights on it, which is what the ONS do to an extent. And I think that is an interesting an interesting idea. Ultimately, you want to keep it sort of clean and useful as a measure. It's very interesting what New Zealand are doing in this space. So they are moving to a living standards model to assess their policies as a government. You know, that is quite a challenging thing to do, and you think about the data. So it'll be really interesting to see how that sort of evolves and what we can learn from that. So I guess in agreement, I'm afraid, with a lot of the speakers, I'd say, you know, what do you want to do? We want to understand it, we want to use it, and we want to improve it, but we want to put it in perspective, basically. And that would be my sort of point.
Thank you very much.